What is going on, everyone? Happy holidays. I hope you are having an awesome start to your break. Charlie, with that, are you surviving the additional stress to your life?
I am. You know what? I'm surrounded by great people. That's why I'm surviving just fine. What about you? I know it's getting really busy with your family.
I know. I've got my daughter home from college. I've got everybody in the house. So yeah, it's never a quiet place in the Stamper household, especially around the exciting holiday season.
It's fun though. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the little ones, you know, Santa Claus, the whole nine yards. So that's always a fun time. So with that, I think this is a very timely episode for folks because, you know, we got a question in and I'm going to pull it up on a banner here. I think a lot of people are feeling this, Charlie. I know that you've had conversations with educators. I have too, feeling kind of the same sentiment. They're saying student behavior is starting to shift. What can we do to combat this in the new year? And this is perfect timing, right? As we come back together in January, we are now looking at the spring semester, which, as we know, is a shift typically in the negative with student behavior. We are now, you know, getting into a time where there's state testing, there's those stressors that are going to be involved. And so what is your thought process as we're coming into the second semester for the school year?
Yeah, it's about knowing the culture of your school, your staff, where your staff is, what are they struggling with the most, letting them express that because they desperately need that. Knowing that we're not solving all their problems, but that sometimes just letting them talk them through and see if there maybe is some simple resolution or just feeling validated and heard. It just goes a long way. We know that. But I'm thinking, like, how do we lean on each other? Like, how do we create these groups to support each other so we can make real change? Like, what are the behaviors? Why do they keep showing up? And how do we make that transformation? Because we don't want to go back to that. We don't want to go back to that. We always want to move forward in leadership. So that's been on my mind, especially since you and I are working with cohorts and have seen a lot of success already. And with that new year coming up, I think people could really benefit from it.
Oh, for sure. And you brought it up even when I asked you that first answer. You have a bunch of people around you that are supporting you and getting you through stressful times, right? So it's a similar concept that we are hoping that people will establish on the campus. Now, we wrote this in the language of behavior, and it's a wonderful resource for this specifically, but we talked about that relationship action team that was built on my campus in regards to a bunch of people feeling the same way and saying, what can we do about it? And I would say that anyone that's listening, it doesn't matter your title, you are all leader, you all have influence, and anyone can build a group, and it can be called whatever. It could be called a cohort, it could be called a relationship action team, it could be whatever you want to title it. A mental health team, we talk about that in the book too. Whatever it is you're coming together, iron sharpens iron. And so you're looking with an open mindset of what is the problem, identifying that, and then what are we doing as far as bringing to the table of solutions that could possibly work, and then using it as a test model of we're going to try some things. If it works, we're going to keep it. If it doesn't, we're going to get rid of it. And that can be different for different folks. Obviously, everyone has their own teaching style. They have their own procedures and things that happen. And then, of course, the subject matter. You know, what happens in the English classroom and what works there might work completely different in PE. So, you know, there's a lot of variables there. But I think the main thing is being open-minded and making sure that you find your crew, find your folks that are there for the right reasons, that want to improve student behavior and are open-minded to saying, okay, are there some new strategies that we can learn and implement going into the new year?
Awesome. Yeah. And I thought of a question. I even wrote it down actually. And what leaders can ask themselves right now when they're thinking of the new year, when they're thinking of how do I put a behavior plan together? How do I think about an action team? What do I do? So here's what I wrote down. Ask yourself this, leaders, who needs to be on my action team to support clarity, accountability, and regulation? Those are all really very important aspects of the team and what you're going to do together. That having clarity, having accountability, not only for yourselves as leaders, but for other people in the building and for students and the support team. But the regulation piece, you know, that's where I'm going to like throw stuff down because regulation is just so important. It's about stability, not only within yourself, but throughout the whole system. And if we can't walk into that building being stable ourselves, we're going to see disruption in the system. And that's why we're seeing so many behavior issues. A lot of it comes from us as well as the leaders. A lot of it comes from the parents and just all the other adults surrounding our kids. So no wonder we're struggling. We've been seeing it for years. So my question is, there's a little bit more there too. So not only like who needs to be on my action team to support clarity, accountability, and regulation, but what role does each person play before, during, and after that conversation when I go tap on their shoulder and say, hey, do you want to do this with me? Do you want to make change? Do you want to be a part of this transformation for 2026? So that's kind of what you and I do. We facilitate that and we go in and we identify what is the need? What skills do we need to teach? And usually we do need to take them through the essential skills model and pull on the tenets and say, like, it's all customized, right? Usually we know what we're going in with, but sometimes we have to adapt as we go. So that is where I've been thinking, Josh. What about you?
No, I was thinking not only the learning piece, but also for if we're talking specifically to leaders, the systems that need to be constructed and then the implementation of that system for that and the communication. Because I think, you know, when we're having these meetings with folks, like you're talking about, as far as the invitation of that, I think also we need to figure out where they are in regards to the buy-in or them to move forward with the system. And so I think, you know, all that's obviously going to take some time. While you're meeting and learning new strategies. But I think systems are where the implementation dies. You know, if you don't have that in place and it's something that's strong and communicated and flushed out, if those things don't exist, then obviously it's not going to go very far. And, you know, this is an important thing. If we don't have student behavior under control, there's not going to be a whole lot of learning occurring. And we're going to start seeing that ripple effect as far as not only grades, but then also test scores and some other components too, as far as like how teachers view the school and their students and their mental health. I think there's a lot of things that are encompassed with student behavior. And so for a leader, it's something that you got to make sure that you have constructed and that's communicated very, very well to everyone as far as the expectations and the steps moving forward for that to be successful.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that about the system. That's why I took the social work route when I knew I wanted to go into like becoming a therapist. But I took the social work route because I wanted to understand structurally what was going on with our systems, our family systems, our legal systems, our social systems, political systems, and of course, our education systems and the mental health system. Like all of them play a role with each other. They all interact. And so if there's something structurally wrong with one, and there always is, how does it affect the other? And then how does it affect like the micro and macro level. So the people within it, and then the macro system, like how does that radiate out? And so that's why it's so important that we understand what's going on in your particular building or your district or your organization. Because Josh, we've been working with organizations of various kinds outside of education, right? Yeah. And not only districts, but also schools. And so if we go to one school, we do have a framework, but we do have to adapt. And how many times have we worked with different cohorts and we go in thinking that we know exactly what we're going to start with and end with, but something comes up in their communication system that needs to be addressed. Like I've talked about it before on this podcast about the student referral process. Like we've got to go in there, right? So what is like, what
are the matrix? Yeah. Like our student behavior matrix. I mean, every campus I've been on, I mean, obviously every campus has its own culture and life. But to go in and start to review all these different things, you start to see holes. And, you know, when you're a new administrator to a campus, it's easy to just be like, why? You know, and asking those questions. And sometimes I could see people get irritated. But what I was trying to land on was I wanted them to understand that a lot of times it was just a decision based on tradition, not because it was what's best for the campus, the student, or the teacher, and to challenge that. And so I think when you have like a relationship team there, relationship action team, you know, it's important to your point of making sure that you have people that have different experiences, have different roles that are diverse, right? Because all of these different perspectives are important for the student body. And we want to make sure that everyone's accounted for and has a voice in that. And then in addition to that, you know, someone that's in special education is going to have a different viewpoint than a 504 coordinator or a counselor or a social worker or an administrator or a teacher. So it's really good to have all of those folks involved. So that way we're, you know, again, representing the whole student body and what's best for each individual child, because as we know, everyone's so, so different.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every single role is important. Every single thing that they bring in is important. If they came from another system into the system that you have, that's important too. That's incredibly useful, right? And also like thinking about challenging each other, having the rapport and the just being like collegial, but having that kind of security that I'm going to challenge that idea. This is why it's not going to work. How can we do this better? Or how can we improve that or adjust it? And when we can do that and feel comfortable having those conversations, that's when the change is going to happen. That's why that model works so well. But yeah, I'm excited for people to look at their 2026 plan and do something different, do something that's going to be more like improving your system.
Yeah, for sure. It's all about activation. We got to activate and make sure that we are making an impact in a very meaningful way. And so if you're looking for more tools, obviously you can grab The Language of Behavior. It literally dropped in February because we knew that is the most preferred month for schools. And so we want to make sure that you have a resource for you coming into the spring. We also have a free resource that we provide, which is the study guide with correlation to the book. And so I will make sure that that link is in the show notes. And yeah, should we jump into Behind the Banter?
Let's do it.
Perfect. All right, Charlie, since we're in the holiday spirit, I want to know, what was your favorite holiday gift that you've ever received?
Oh my gosh. Okay. When I was in first grade, I got a life-size doll. So I remember I'm the baby of six kids. And
Didn't
I remember
you just bring up life-size dolls in the last episode?
I said dolls, weird collection of dolls. Guys, yeah, go listen to the banter, all the banter on that. That's funny. I did not put two and two together, but no.
I couldn't get the visual out of my head. So that's why you said it again. I was like, hold on. I think there was something there.
Well, I'm not actually like a girly girl. And so what's interesting about it is that I was like alone a lot. Like I played a lot of my own because I was probably an annoying kid that my sisters didn't want anything to do with. I don't know. There's some trauma there. Probably we got to process that. No, but I got this doll that was the same size as me. And I was like my best friend. I was a first grader. I was a first grader, Josh. So anyway,
hey, there's no judgment here. I just saw a pattern that I wanted to bring up. That's all.
Okay. What about you?
The first one that came to mind was, I think I was like 8 years old and we got a Nintendo, and that was like big time for us. So growing up, we didn't have like a ton of money. So that was like a really, really giant gift that a lot of friends on the street had, but you know, to have us personally have it. And back then, I mean, what is it, like 1988? So I'm like, what is that? Like you go to the arcade and that was the only way you could play video games, but now you get to do it in your own house. Like that was pretty cool.
Yeah. That was a great game. Yeah. That system was great. Yeah.
I'm aging myself here in this podcast, but I mean, for those who remember that old time system, that was the greatest thing ever.
That was so fun. I know. And by the way, forget jewelry. Don't be spending any money on me for jewelry. I don't want anything real. I'll lose it and get me a trip instead. Like these days,
you love traveling.
Get me a memory or a trip. Yep. Give me adventure.
Wow. We're going to be seeing each other here in a couple of months. I can't wait, in North Carolina. And so, Charlie, do you have anything else lined up before we close the episode down?
Yeah, I just want to remind people that leaning on each other when you're struggling is the best way to get through something. Like, don't do any big change on your own. Like, that's not worth it. We're here for each other. So that's it. I just hope everybody can find somebody that they love and trust, even professionally, but personally too.
All right, y'all. So we're going to have everything in the show notes as usual. So make sure that you are checking out our website. Again, Charlie is at thrivingeducator.org. If you want to learn more about the show, maybe the cohort model, the book, you can head over to joshdamper.com/language-of-behavior. And of course, if you need anything, any services, any advice, you name it, just reach out. Charlie and I love supporting educators. So it's literally our passion. So we hope that you have a wonderful holiday season. And if there's additional questions that you have for us for episodes in the future, we will have the bit.ly in the show notes as usual. And Charlie, anything else you want to say before we end the podcast today?
Just have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. And don't forget to do a New Year's resolution and stick to it. You got this.
Might be another episode we got to talk about.
Yes.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and a podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.